Blog Talk Radio.
Has a remedy that I could use to live my life clean. But every time I walk, I just keep falling down. Living in my righteousness just kept me on the ground. Then I realized that God was right there waiting on me. Saying, son, turn it over to me, turn it over to me. I want to dwell in your presence so I can feel so strong. I want to seek your face and not your nail-scarred hands. I want to live for you until my days are done. Sit and reason with the Lord, why he didn't take this painful part of my flesh. He told me that the reason why it's there is to let me know that I am imperfect. He wants me to stay on my knees like a father. He wants to mold me and make me. I'll always be the clay. So mold me and make me and do what you say. Jesus, your perfect shot is what I need. I will sacrifice my pleasure to stay right at your feet. Oh, oh Lord, please fight my battles for me. Oh Lord, fight for me. Please fight for me. Oh, I want to dwell in your presence so I can feel so strong. I want to seek your face and not your name.
Good evening and praise the Lord, and welcome to Live Deliverance Internet Radio here on blogtalk.com. I am your host, Brother Mike, and tonight we're going to be having part two from last week's teaching on The King and I by Pastor Steve Lee. I would like to thank those who are listening and tuning in to us here, at Blog Talk on Live Deliverance on blogtalk.com. If you would like to call in this evening and discuss or give commentary on tonight's teaching, you can do so at area code 646-378-1857. Okay. Let's see here. Let me see if I got any other announcements here. I don't. So without further ado, we're going to go ahead and get started with the teaching for tonight. Pastor Steve, you have the mic.
Amen. And thank you again, Brother Mike. Well, beloved, let's just go ahead and pray and get into the word for today. Father, I ask you to speak to me so that I can hear. Awaken me the mind of Christ. Open my eyes that I might behold wondrous things out of your word. Breathe on me so that I can speak, that the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. Flow through me and cause me to move by your spirit. Let healing and deliverance take place, break forth in this place, in this time, because of your word, your spirit, and your love. Live big in me. I now decrease so that you can increase. Holy Spirit, glorify Jesus in my life as I now share the living word, the bread of life. Jesus, draw us into the Father's presence where there is fullness of joy. Father, quiet our hearts and minds as we allow the peace of God to rule in our lives. Cause us to grow in the grace that has appeared unto all men as you teach us how we should live in this present world. For you have made us more than conquerors in this life through Christ Jesus. So speak to our spirit and birth victory in our hearts and in our minds. In Jesus' name, I pray. Beloved, I've been just meditating and hearing some things about this topic, the King and I. And I found that we need to have king-sized thoughts that are fit for a king. You know, last time we dealt with Esther, chapter 2, and I'll just make reference to try to bring everybody up that wasn't here last week and remind you of what God was revealing to us. You know, I bring things to the attention of the people that's on the call, and it would be good for you to go back and to review these things so that you can cause them to be weaved into your life. And we're going to talk about some of the ways that God weaves things into our life is by us rehearsing the word and making the word that we rehearse become our thought processes. Okay, because if we don't begin to have king-sized thoughts, beloved, then we're going to end up in the same life that we have now. The way to get out of whatever you're in, according to Proverbs 23:7, it says that as a man thinks in his heart, so is he, or that's where you will find the man. If you're spending time, more time than you should, Jesus said we shouldn't even be thinking about that. Take no thought, he said. That he said, take no thought for these things, what you should wear, what you should eat, okay? But if you're spending time there, beloved, then you have been duped by the enemy, because as a man thinks, that's where he is. That's where you find the man. So if I'm thinking from my positions of worries and fears, then I will find myself in bondage, okay? The book of Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14 and 15 says, it gives us the understanding that through fear, bondage enters. Man, who always, the devil comes and messes with us through fear of death. And through that fear of death, we are all our lives subject to bondage. Okay? So I'm just trying to get you to see. That's why he expressly tells us that God did not give us the spirit of fear, but of love and power and of a sound mind. Why? Because he wants you to understand this love that has been shed abroad in your heart. He wants you to participate in a mind that is sound, thoughts that are on purpose, not incidental or accidental thoughts. Okay? If you're going to try to live your life because of what's happening around you or by incident or by accident, then you're not going to live out the life that purpose can give you. See, when we think correctly, then we can have the life that purpose has made available for us. Okay? I just want you to kind of understand these things. As believers, we must understand that we are supposed to get ready for our kingdom. And this preparation must start now. And this preparation must include all of our being, our spirit, our soul, and our body. Okay, I just want you to get that. Because if you only do one third of that, let's say you are working on bringing your body under subjection, that's a good thing. But you are supposed to bring yours, well, according to the scripture, as it says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, it says you are a spirit, you have a soul, you live in a body. It would be kind of stupid, since God delineated spirit first, for us to work on body first. Because he said to us, he told us that bodily exercise only profits a little. And here I am trying to get everything right in the physical. You must do that. But, beloved, you will do better at accomplishing that if your spirit is in agreement. Because you're supposed to be led by your spirit. So we need to bring all aspects of our body. And again, like as I was looking at this, I heard it differently. Our spirit, our soul, and our body. He said in Deuteronomy chapter 6, this is a scripture that you probably know very well, Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4 and 5, and just kind of just gleaning here, you might as well go back starting 1. He said, these are the commandments and statutes and judgments which the Lord your God commanded to teach you, that you might do them in the land whether you go to possess it. Please hear what he said. He said, the things that I'm teaching you, the things that I'm saying to you, my statutes, my commandments, my judgments, I'm giving these things to you that you will be able to do them in the land where you go. Okay, so that you can just get this. See, we kind of pray differently, you know, because we don't understand. Oh, boy, there's so much I can pour out here. We don't understand that our today fuels my tomorrow. And if I don't begin to do the things today that I need to do for the rest of my life or for my tomorrow is going to be subject. Okay? So he says, you will do the things in the land. So on the way to the land, you have to start practicing the things. Okay, I'm going to reference this again. Jesus said, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. So then we can glean from that we should do the things in earth. And I understand that two ways. It means, yes, in this structure or chronos time. It means that, yes. But you've got to remember, beloved, that you were made of the dust of the earth. You are part of that in earth statement. Thy will be done in this body, in earth, the same way it's done in heaven. See, if I don't begin to think that way, then I really don't prepare myself accurately. Okay? I'm still living, if you would, for pie in the sky. No, I need to deal with the ham where I am. I need some steak on my plate. I just can't wait for things ethereal. I need to deal with things eternal. Just so that we get this, eternity has to include now. Otherwise, it could not be eternal. Okay? If eternal does not include my now, it could never be eternal. Because as soon as I hear a promise that is eternal, it must be applied now. Thy will be done in earth. Okay? Not just on earth, but in earth. He says, I want you to do these things so that when you get there, it'll be your natural response. Okay? I know people think that somewhere after we get caught up and meet him in that sky that we're going to change somewhere on the way up. No, beloved, If you haven't practiced it now, you won't get to do it then. As a man thinketh in his heart, that's where you find the man. He says, I'm telling you to do these things that you might fear, verse 2, that might fear the Lord your God and keep his statutes. Okay, see, I'm just, y'all can just hear the words here. He says, these things that I'm teaching you so that you can enter in. And if you will enter in correctly, you will fear the Lord so that you will be able to keep them. He already is going to give them to you. Now he's going to ask you to execute them. Okay? He says, you'll be able to keep all his statutes and his commandments, which he command thee, thou and thy son's son, all the days of thy life. Okay, please. Again, he just delineated what I said. He said, all the days of your life. He did not say when you get to the place. All, so that I can understand. If all means all, and that's all it means. Okay, if I'm going to make all mean something else, then I didn't understand all means all. So if this is going to happen for all of the days of my life, it must start now. This is what we talked about in preparation, and we're going to go back and pick that up in Esther. Okay? And he says that as you do this, watch, look at the promises he brings. He says, so that I can make your days prolonged. So that I can get you, and that's more than just living past 100. That's also being able to do more in your day. God is trying to bless you and fill you. Glory to God. He's trying to fill you. God is not under the concept of a little dab or do you. God is under the concept of being filled. Okay? So because if I'm filled, oh, beloved, please hear these things. If I'm filled, that means I have no lack. And that's what the word peace means. It means nothing missing, nothing broken. So that it's impossible then, if peace is in me in fullness, it's impossible for something to be missing. I will not be lacking. So then I have to go and begin to practice what he said so that I can then fear the Lord. I will be able to have days that are prolonged. Okay? He's just not talking about the length of the calendar. He's talking about you being able to do more in the 24-hour period. That's how people will know that you're called by the name of the Lord, because they see things working in your life that just doesn't work in theirs. They have the same allotment of time, 24 hours, that you do. But because you have learned to hear and give heed to his word, he causes your days to be filled or prolonged. Verse 3, hear, O Israel, therefore, and observe to do it, that it may be well with thee. So then, if I don't do it, it's not going to be well with me. Okay, so please, hear the promise and understand what's in the promise. He said, if I do these things, it will be well with me. That would have to include my now, wouldn't it? He didn't say, it'll be well in the by and by. He said, it will be well with you. And not only will it be well with you, you will also increase. And he said, your increase will be mightily. Glory to God. Isn't that what Jesus said? I come that you might have life and have it more abundantly, or that you would increase mightily. So then I don't see God's provision for your life as barely get along. I just don't see that from the scripture. I didn't say that didn't happen in your life, but the scripture is where I'm supposed to live. That's what Jesus told us in Matthew chapter 4. He says man is not supposed to live by bread alone. He's supposed to live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And if this is what is written, it proceeded out of the mouth of God, and he wants me to increase mightily. Okay? Because that is his promise, and he wants me to have that, please notice, in the land. He didn't say in the heavens, he said in the land. Then he said, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one, verse 5, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might. So we're supposed to be able to love God, function in these thoughts. And this was the part that I had today. He said, not only am I supposed to love him with all of my spirit, my soul, and my body, but I'm supposed to love him with my thoughts and with the intent of my heart. Don't you remember what it says in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12? Now you can just flip there. I'm trying to bring you up to speed so that I can speak the word that would cause you to have king-sized thoughts that are fit for a king. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12 says it this way. For the word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. So that not only do I love God with my spirit, my soul, and my body, I have to learn to love him, to submit myself to him in my thought life and in the intent of my heart. Did you notice that there was a two-edged sword? That tells me that God's evaluation system is going to be on two levels in multiple directions. It's a two-edged sword that's being used. Okay? I want you to know that. When you see a scripture, understand what's in the scripture. Don't just leave it, read it because it was your responsibility to come to the end of the sentence. He wants you to live by that word. If I came to the end of the sentence and I don't have life, please don't leave that sentence. Okay? You can write that one down. If I come to the end of the sentence and I don't have life, I should not leave that sentence. Because I'm supposed to live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. There is enough life in the word but if you will hear what God put in it. Amen. He's the one that said every word. So if but is written, then I can live off of the but that's written. I can live off of the and that's written. Okay? But we don't think that way. So then we leave a lot of things at the table, if you would. And we allow our lives to stay in the same place, expecting pie in the sky, when God said, live by it. Okay? If you just understand, living is what you do from day to day. That's not something that you will do. Okay, just so that you can frame your thought process. He didn't say that I'm giving you these things so that you will do them sometime in the future. No, he says I'm asking you to live by it, and your living is done day by day, minute by minute. So he says here that the we're supposed to be able to prepare our kingdom. That's what we have to do. We have to prepare our kingdom. That includes our spirit, our soul, our body, our thoughts, and the intents of our heart. My God, my God. I mean, God wants to, again, he wants to fill you all in all. That means he has to have all. He cannot fill you all in all if you don't allow him to get to all in all. If you reserve your thought life for yourself and he can't get to it, not only are you being disobedient, but he cannot equip you for the life that he has for you. Because the Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 10 that we're supposed to bring every thought into captivity until that thought obeys Christ. So if I don't give him my thought life, then I'm flat out disobedient. How do you think if I'm going to be disobedient, I'm going to end up in the best place of victory? How do we think that's going to happen? Okay? So God's evaluation from a two-edged sword is going to be on two levels, coming in and going out, a two-edged sword, and in any direction, going in front of you or behind you. Oh, my God. See, I hope you heard that, beloved. That the word of God takes care of your future and your past. It's a two-edged sword. And notice, please notice, it's one sword with two edges, which means he wants to take care of your past and your future at the same time. Glory to God. He wants to separate you from your past, the things that have bound you up, and he wants to give you a future because a word was spoken. Glory to God. He said it's quick. That means it is alive and it is powerful. It is sharper than a two-edged sword because it can pierce and divide. So I just want you to allow your heart to begin to let God in so that you can have this king-size life. These king-sized thoughts that are fit for a king. But if we don't function that way, if we just want God to deal with our actions and our words, but we don't want him to deal with our thoughts and the intent of our heart, then we didn't prepare for our king. Because he wants to, okay, a king has a dominion. A kingdom, okay? If you don't let the king have the kingdom, which is you, or if you have places that are reserved that you don't let him into, you don't let him into your thought life. You say, okay, God, you can judge my words, but you cannot judge the intent of my heart. Oh, well, then, beloved, you didn't understand the words. That's the word's job. He just said that. It's going to pierce even to divide asunder soul and spirit, joints and marrow, and this same word that is alive, quick and powerful, will discern the heart and the intents of thoughts. He's going to discern your thoughts and the intents of your heart. He wants to talk about why you did it. Oh, that just since we're here. He doesn't just want to talk about what you did, beloved. He wants you to understand why you allowed that to happen in your life. Since you're supposed to bring every thought into captivity, he's going to ask you, why did you allow that thought to continue to live? Why didn't you bring that thought into subjection? Because when you bring that thought into subjection, that thought then will cause you to be able to enjoy good at God's expense, if you would. You begin to function on his dime. Okay. So if I don't do that, then I'm just forfeiting my inheritance in the kingdom. If I don't allow him to do that, I've got to say, your will be done. So if we don't walk in it here, then we're not preparing for his kingdom, for his visitation, for the place that he's expecting us to carry out kingdom authority. And so we'll just go back and review here in Esther chapter 2. And that was just, it just blessed me to see that, how God set that thing up. Because he said things I hadn't even thought about. Because in the day that we're studying for Esther, the Bible says that there were preparations being made, and we are the ones that should be preparing for life that is eternal. Okay? If I'm not doing that, then, beloved, really, then what am I doing? You know? Well, how is this thing going to work? If I'm not doing what he said I'm supposed to do in preparation, I'm just kind of saying, okay, God, whatever you do, that'll be okay. And he's saying, I need for you to go and prepare. I need for you to let me know that you are wanting to do what I told you to do. And that as you do it, I will know that I prepared for you. You will be able to function in it. Okay? Let's just look at Esther chapter 2, I think verse 9 and following. Verse 9, this is the story of how we got into it, because it's going to tell you that there were preparations made, purifications were required, okay, in order to go in the presence of the king. You just didn't go in there with your own ideas. You went in there with prepared thoughts. You rehearsed over and over. And this process was a year long. Okay? Let's start in verse 9. And the maiden, which was Esther, pleased him. And notice that she obtained kindness of him, and he speedily gave her the things for purification, with such things as belonged to her, and seven maidens, which were meet to be given her out of the king's house. And he preferred her and her maids unto the best place of the house of the women. Okay, I just want you to just take some notes here. Look, what we should expect our king to extend toward us. Okay, these are things our king is wanting to extend toward us. But if I have no thought process in that, then I won't be found there. As a man thinks in his heart, that's what you find him. Notice things, the first thing out the chute in verse 9 was favor. It said that she obtained kindness of him. You can define that very literally. She obtained favor. And then, because she had obtained favor, the second thing that was given to her is he gave her the things for purification. Or in our life, it would be the word, the washing of the water by the word. He has sent his word to heal us and to deliver us. Okay? So then he's given us favor, and then he gave us the word. And then in the word, not only was it things for purification, it was also the things that belong to us, or the same word that purifies gives us expectation and gives us hope. It gives us promise. Those are the things that belong to us, okay? So that you can see it, favor, she obtained kindness, the things for purification, along with the things that belong to her. Would that not be capsulized in promise? Yes. And then notice this. The next one was gave her seven maidens. The number seven is the number of completion or perfection. Perfection. So he gave her perfect assistance. Glory to God. Okay, we'll just do it this way. So along with the things that belonged to me, the things that were necessary, okay, it says that they were given perfect assistance. I would believe that the Holy Ghost is perfect. That's what it tells us in Romans chapter 8, that he knows what is the mind of the Spirit, and he prays according to the perfect will of God. That would be perfect assistance, wouldn't it? These are the things that we should receive, because these help us to get ready so that we can have an experience with the king. So we can have king-sized thoughts that are fit for the king. You know, I say that again. If I'm thinking beneath the place that I've been called to, am I fit for the king? No, I'm not, because I think contrary to the king. But if I would begin to take those things that he's given me, the favor and the things for purification, the things that belong to me, the perfect assistance, and then it says, which were meet to be given to her, or the things which were necessary. Okay, I want you to get this. This is all in the word. It's necessary. I don't know how y'all help me. I don't know how we would function in life without doing what the Bible tells us to do, because the Bible only tells us to do that which is necessary. The entrance of his word giveth light, and it makes the understanding of the simple profitable. It was necessary for the simple person to receive understanding. And the only way he can receive understanding, according to Psalms 119, verse 130, is that he has to let the word come in. He has to take and partake of the word. Take it and allow it to work in areas where it was not working or allowed in before. The entrance of the word. Okay, come on, y'all. A lot of times we will hear something and not let it enter in. He said the entrance of the word giveth life. Not just the redundancy of hearing a word. Because if I'm not agreeing with the word in my heart, it does not enter. And if it does not enter, then I can't do what David did. David said, your word have I hid in my heart so that I won't miss my portion, so that I will not sin against you. But if I don't hide the word, it let it enter, then that word, even though it is powerful, it is sharper, it is alive, and sharper than any two-edged sword. If I don't let it enter, then one of the edges, if you would, is not being used. See? So we've got to prepare, okay, things that are necessary. These are eight things, and eight is the number of completion. Okay, start now. It's time for new beginnings. So you've gotten perfect assistance from the number seven, things that are necessary, things that are meet. And then the sixth thing here is these things came out of the king's house. Glory to God. That just blessed me. All this is in one verse, y'all. These things did not come from your house. They did not come from your work. They came from the king's house to you. They were things that God set up that he wanted you to use. Okay? So that's one of the reasons, beloved, you shouldn't argue with the word, because a word from God is what God wanted you to use. He sent that so that you could be delivered. Okay? But you're going to argue and say, well, that's passed away, or that's for the elite. No. If it was sent to you, beloved, according to Psalms 107, verse 20, he said he sent his word to heal you, to deliver you from all of your destruction. So the word was sent to you. It was not for the elite few. Glory to God. But if I'm going to think that way, then that word does not enter, and it will not profit. Okay? Then one of the other things that you would see, is the seventh thing that you would see, is that watch this, it says, and he preferred her. So you should expect preference by the king. Hallelujah. Now, wait a minute. Favor is one thing. Preference is another. Preference, if you would be the order of the thing. You prefer one above the other. Favor is ever, if he causes it to rain on the just and the unjust. But he preferred you. Glory to God. I just need for y'all to get that. Selah. Calmly think on that. God preferred you. According to 2 Chronicles 16:9, it says, the eyes of the Lord look over the whole earth for someone he can prefer to show himself strong in their behalf. The eyes of the Lord run over the whole earth, to and fro, to show himself strong in behalf of those that have a perfect heart towards him. When you engage, he can now prefer you. You no longer get the same rain that the unjust get. Hallelujah. I'm hoping that you get this, beloved. You get the rain of preference. Okay, just so we get this, the Bible says Jesus asked this question: when the Son of Man comes back, will he find faith in the earth? He also said to the centurion, he said, I have not found so great a faith in Israel. Wait a minute. That tells me he was looking for that kind of faith. He said, I have not found it. He didn't say, I have not walked into it. He said, I have not found it. So man, who can find See, when you operate in this dimension, you now enter into preference. Okay. Blessing is good. Okay, I got that. Love that. But do you hear preference being better? Because he said he preferred her and her maids. And he said he preferred them and moved them to the best place of the house. It's one thing to be in the house, y'all. But when you preferred, you don't go, you don't get at the door and stand at the doorway with your hand on the doorknob. No, no, no. When you are preferred, you get to go to the best place of the house. Hallelujah. That's what God, Jesus, did for us. The Bible said he made us to sit together in a preferred place. Hallelujah. All right, if you would get this, if Jesus is sitting at the right hand of the Father and we are sitting with him, that would make us have to sit on his right hand. Is that correct? He made us sit together with him or in the same place that he's in. So we are at the place of preference. The place of honor. It's one body, y'all. We are the body of Christ, not the bodies of Christ. We are not part of the body. We are the body. So if he's at the right hand of the Father, we would be at the right hand. Is that correct? So we have access to the best place in the house. That's eight things that you can glean right out of Esther chapter 2, verse 9. See, so if we're going to learn to live there, then we're going to have to give up the things that we've been functioning in up to now. All right, if the king comes to deliver you, why do you think it would be necessary for you to then deliver yourself? Help me out with that thought now. The king came so that you can experience. He sent a word to you. He gave you the things that belong to you, the things for purification, the preference that's necessary, the best place. Then why would you think it's still necessary for you to save yourself? It's because you don't have king-size thoughts. You have thoughts that I'm not worthy. Thoughts that I'm going to have to do it on my own. When the king has just showed up, you just obtained favor. Okay? First thing out the chute, she obtained kindness of him. But she didn't know how to function in the king's presence. That's why the things of purification were given to her. That's why everything necessary to cause her to educate her heart, put new thoughts in her heart, elevate her thinking. That's why he did that. So that we can then be his habitation. I don't see, he's looking for a kingdom that is sustainable, a kingdom that is alive in us. It's a holy place where he is invited to stay. You know very clearly in Revelation chapter 3, verse 20 and 22, he says, "Behold, I stand at the door, and I'm knocking at the door. And if anybody will open the door, then I'm going to tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to come in, and I'm going to sup with him." Let's just go there and look at it. "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. And if any man will hear my voice and open the door, I will come in." Wait a minute, y'all. Wait a minute. I said it before, but just look at the scripture as it's cited. He says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. And then he said, if any man will hear my voice. He did not say, if any man will hear my knock. He said, if you will hear a word that has been sent to you, because as I'm knocking, I am speaking. And my knocking is not the thing that's important. My voice is the thing that's important, because my voice is what causes me to be able to enter. He says, if any man will hear my voice, then I will come in, and I will sup with him, and he will sup with me. And to him that overcomes, I will grant to sit with me in my throne. And even as I have overcome and have sat down with my Father in his throne, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying. He didn't say he that understands code from knocking, Morris code, if you would. He said, no, if you hear my voice, not if you hear my knock. If you understand that I want to gain entrance so that I can come in and I can sup with you. And in this day, supping or eating was an honor and a privilege. When you were invited to eat with someone, that wasn't just something that you took lightly. That meant that they were opening up not only their house, but their life to you. Today, it might not mean that. See, Jesus is looking for intimacy. If you hear him speaking and you allow his speech to be heard, and then you open up your heart, come on, let's just say this so we can get this. You open up your heart. Now that your heart or the door has been opened, now communication is what takes place next. He said, I will come in, I will sup with him. Me and my Father will talk to him. That's what they did when they ate, when they broke bread, beloved. They didn't just eat so that they can get full. Glory to God. Wow, that's good, sir. They did not come in to eat so that they can get full. They came in so that they can share their life. Okay, you can tell that from the scripture right here as it says. How? Look at this. Wow, wow. He says, I will come in and sup with him and eat with me. And he that overcometh. How is he going to overcome? He would have to overcome by the words that are spoken. He's not going to overcome because he had chicken. He's going to overcome because there was an impartation. Words were shared. Then he says, to him that overcome, I'll grant to stay in this position of authority. The same way the Father and I communicate. Yeah, we might go there, sir. And he says, and I'm in a position of authority. And he says, now, he that hath an ear, he did not say, he that hath a mouth, he that hath lips. He didn't go back to the eating, did he? He did not go back to the natural, did he? He went specifically to your spirit hearing. Because he was not talking about these mitts on the side of your ear, on the side of your head. He was talking about if you open up the heart and then begin to hear with the heart you just opened up. Come on, y'all. Why would he ask you to open up your heart and then say, now I want you to listen with your ears? He wants you to begin to listen with the thing you just opened up. Because that's where he's going to pour into. You invited him into your heart. He's going to pour into your heart. He's not going to pour into your hearing, your ears. Come on, y'all. The scripture has mystery all of the time. So then when he says a thing, stay with it long enough to get the meaning where deliverance, truth, sets you free. Okay? So if you allow him to come in, you make a place that's fit for the king. Which, again, this is the king, the ruler of the universe is knocking. And you're going to invite a very special guest to sit down, and you will be able to sup with him and he with you. See? This ain't just everybody. This is a place that now you're going to have to make holy so that he can stay there. I mean, just ask yourself a question. How would you want to treat a special guest? The one that happens to be the ruler of the universe. Would you just treat him like everybody else? You know, that's basically what we do. Ooh, that's true, sir. We'll talk to God when we get good and ready. When everything falls apart, then we go to pray. Now we'll pray. When if we have been opened our heart when he come on. He said he was standing there knocking. Please. He says, look, behold, that means look into. I am at the door. I'm knocking. Circumstances are not what you're supposed to hear the knock of. But we'll open the door because we want God to come in because we heard the knock of circumstances. We heard the knock of trials. We heard the knock of frustration. Jesus said, no, I want you to hear me. If you would hear my voice, don't hear because of what you don't have. Don't hear because of what they did. Hear my voice. Glory to God. Oh, I just gave you something that'll set you free right there. You need to train your heart to hear the voice of the Lord, not the frustration that you're in. Because when you that's true. Notice this. Jesus said, I want you to know I'm at the door. And I'm not at the door just because you're going through. I'm at the door because I love you and I want to impart. But if you open the door only because you want me to help you with what you're going through, then all you will hear is the answer to what you're going through. I want to give you everything. Come on, did he not say that you would be able to sit on the seat of authority? Come on, y'all. He didn't say, I'm going to try to get you over the hump. He said, I'm going to get you to the place where you are accustomed to sitting in the seat of authority. Glory to God. See, we have different thoughts. We don't have king-sized thoughts. We have thoughts of, help me get out of this mess, and then I'll be all right. No. You haven't learned how to have dominion. Because once you have dominion, beloved, you don't have problems. Because you have dominion. Amen. You will have opportunity, got no problem with that. But if I have dominion, then the problems cannot dominate. I have dominion. The Bible says that the enemy, the thief, only is trying to seek those that he can devour. It did not say that the enemy came in so he could devour. He said he came in to seek those he can devour. Will you let him devour or will you have dominion? It's up to you, beloved. And if you would think the king-sized thoughts, then the attack doesn't alter your position of love and faith in God. Because you will know that since I think king-sized thoughts, I will be able to say, greater is he that is in me than he that's trying to come against me, than he that's in the world. I will have thoughts that say, there'll be more that's with me than those that are against me. I will have thoughts that say, if God be for me, who can be against me? He who spared not his son, but freely offered him up, will also give me by him all things. Freely. See, those are king-sized thoughts. Because I decided to prepare, to allow the things for purification so that my mind could be renewed. I allowed those things to be executed in my life. I then found out for sure what he had for me. See? I found out that there were things that belonged to me. Okay? And I began to function in those things. Why? Because that's where God has prepared my victory. And if I will go to the place that he's prepared my victory, I will be able to enjoy the victory. I will be able to see it. I will know that I have favor. the things for purification, such things that belong to me, perfect assistance, the things that are necessary that have already been given to me out of the king's house, preference by the king, and access to the best place in the house. See, if I begin to have king-sized thoughts, then the king and I will be able to enjoy the sup that we're going to have. Because, again, part of this supping with him was if I overcome, I will have a different seat. I will sit in the place of authority. Okay? So we just got to look at this just a little bit different. This is a place where the ruler of the universe wants to come and see if, in fact, I'm going to allow his thoughts to be my thoughts. See, because I got to give up my right to my will, my thoughts, my ways, my desires, my hope, and even my life. See? I've got to get to the place where, because this is what God wants to do in me, he's the hope of glory in me. So I've got to allow glory that's supposed to be revealed. God gave me an acronym of a ruler. You can turn to Romans chapter 8, and I'll try to just get through some of it. A ruler, because that's the king is a ruler. The king abides, wants to abide in me, because he's made me a joint heir, full of the power and authority and rights. The acronym that God gave me for the word ruler is this. The R is for righteous. U, understanding. L, leading. E, expected release. The ruler is one who has righteous understanding, leading to expected release. He lives on purpose. That's an expected release. Kingdom thoughts are supposed to take us someplace, to the place of expectancy, to the place of victory. And kingdom thoughts will do that every time, all the time. Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11 says, I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord. They are thoughts of peace and not of evil. Thoughts that will bring you to or give you an expect. If I'm having king-sized thoughts, then I will get to my purposed end. Okay? Jesus left us with king-sized thoughts. He says, all power has been given unto me, both in heaven and in earth. Therefore, you go. He just gave us a king-sized thought. Show you how big the thought was. He said, go into all the world. That's a king-sized thought right there, y'all. He didn't say, just go to the little bitty corner. He said, go into all of it. And when you get there, make disciples. Come on, y'all, help me. This is the king-sized thought. He didn't say, go there and just talk to people that you think should be. He said, go and make disciples. Teach them how to observe all things that I told you. Teach them. See, we don't have king-sized thoughts. We would rather argue with them about all the stuff they're doing wrong. He didn't tell us to argue with them about what they're doing wrong. He said, teach them to observe what I told you. Glory to God. Teach them, not accuse them. Would you say that most of the time the body of Christ has been accusing people that did not understand what Jesus said rather than teaching them what Jesus said? He came here and taught us. He knew we were ignorant. You know how he knew that we didn't have knowledge? I'll say it that way first. Because we were being destroyed. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. And he was watching us being consumed by the enemy, being destroyed by the enemy. And the only reason we're being destroyed by the enemy is lack of knowledge. And so he came and he taught us. Amen. And sometimes in teaching, beloved, people don't get it the first 27 times. Hallelujah. I know I didn't. But God is faithful, and he did not give up on me. He just continued to teach me. Because he sent the Holy Spirit, and part of the Holy Spirit's job description, if you would, Jesus said, and when he has come, he will teach you all things. He will lead you into the truth. He will bring all things to your remembrance, what I've said unto you. He will show you things to come. He will give you power. Okay? He's going to teach me. Yes, he will. Okay, that's true, sir. He said he will reprove the world of sin. And then he said of righteousness and of judgment. He will reprove the world of that. But he came to teach me. Glory to God. See, so that I need to start agreeing with him. This is the king of the universe wanting to come, knocking at my door, wanting me to hear his voice, hear his word, open the door, and then he'll come in and talk to me. Give me what I need, sustenance. Sustenance. Stuff that will help me win every time, all the time, so that I can become accustomed to this seat of authority. Romans chapter 8, starting at verse 14, and I'll just kind of wrap it up here. He says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again unto fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption. So your conversation should be different. Whereby you cry, wow, that's good, sir. Whereby you cry, Abba, Father. Notice, this is not a begging petition here. This is an acknowledgement. You cry, first daddy. Father, Father. Notice, when you are led by the Spirit of God, come on, y'all, I'm just reading what he said. He said, when you're led by the Spirit of God, you don't function out of the spirit of bondage. You don't function out of fear. You function out of the spirit of adoption. Glory to God. And because you have the spirit of adoption, you say, Father, Father, first daddy, dear daddy. You don't say, help me, God, because when you know he's dear, then you don't have to worry about whatever I need. He's my dear daddy. He got that. Jesus is the one that told us that God knows what things we have need of before we pray. See? So I don't have to pray out of fear. I don't have to pray out of bondage. Okay, just so that you can see that. And he says, and your conversation should be spirit-led because the spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then you are an heir of God, and you are a joint heir with Christ Jesus. If so be you suffer with him. Now, here's the thing, y'all. Don't think that the suffering that he's talking about here is that you have to go to the cross. The suffering that he's talking about here is that you're going to have to fight the same way Jesus fought in his mind, in the arena of his thinking. Don't you remember that whole thing? Father, if there's any other way to get this done. Because Jesus knew that they could not take his life. He said, my life, I lay it down, and I pick it up. This commandment have I received of my Father. So they said, no man can take my life. So it wasn't the battle of I don't want to die. It was I've never been separated from you. But you have a plan, and we discussed this plan. It was here in you and I. And so now I have to execute this plan. And the Bible says that he fought with this thing to the point that blood came out of his head like drops of sweat. So this is the suffering that we got to engage in, that we bring our mind into the place where the thoughts in our mind line up with our God. They don't quit and say, oh, God, I don't know if I'm able to do that. Oh, I don't have a choice. But for this cause was I sent into the world. See, I'm going back to see. Oh, good God. Jesus went back to the place of purpose. He did not stay at the place of emotion. He went to the place of purpose. Beloved, please hear that. If you would go to the place of purpose, you can bring emotion in check. But if you're going to stop at the place of emotion, you will never get to purpose. Glory to God. And Jesus said, no. For this cause, I was brought into the world. So he went back and got purpose driven. If so be, you're going to suffer with him so that you can be glorified together. Hallelujah. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared to the glory that shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestations of the sons of God. I mean, the whole earth is waiting for this. The trees are looking around talking about when is the body of Christ going to wake up and know whose they are. Wake up and know who they are. Wake up and function in their purpose. When are the sons of God going to be made manifest? I would like to, as a tree, I would like to yield my fruit to the sons of God. Not just go out and be raped and robbed by people that are imitating the power of God as they walk around and try to make things happen instead of allowing God to be the one that works it out. Because it said about Jesus that all of his works were wrought in God. Didn't say Jesus went around making stuff happen. It says all of his works were wrought in God. The trees are looking for the manifestations of the sons of God, those that understand purpose and function in purpose. This is king-sized thoughts, because there's a king in you that wants to be revealed, that wants to display his power, that wants to display his love. There's a king in us that's greater than whatever the devil can muster up. There's a kingdom in us that has Zoe life. There's kingdom authority in us because he's given us the power to do what's necessary in the earth. There's kingdom provision in us where the power is released, because if two or three would agree as touching, then that thing will be done for them by my Father who is in heaven. Kingdom power is waiting to be released. Whatever you bind is bound. Whatever you loose is loose. Kingdom power is ready to look for the sons of the manifestation of the sons of God so that they can sow glory that flows through you. There's a kingdom response that's in us, where love is the only language that is spoken. That love covers a multitude of sin. That love never fails. Love believes all things, endures all things. There's a kingdom conversation that should be coming out of you, your life, the display of glory that God has deposited. There's a king to be seen in you. Will you allow the time that's spent with the king be time that develops you, that prepares you, that equips you so that you can display glory, honor, and victory? Or will you still be one that imitates the true sons of God? Go from problem to problem instead of glory to glory. The choice is yours. Which will you choose? Your way or God's way? God's waiting on you today. Father, we just thank you and bless you for your word. A word, yes, that's conviction and brings conviction to our heart, but it also brings confirmation that we are the sons of God, and that the whole earth is waiting for the manifestation of your sons. People that are not moved by emotions, but people that are driven by purpose, that are connected to purpose, that are connected to victory, because they are connected to the promise that you sent. Thank you, Father, for the provision that's in your word that causes us to be able to be prepared, that causes us to be able to know what you have given for us, Father, that we understand our favor, that we understand the things of purification, the things that belong to us, that we believe the perfect assistance that the Holy Ghost brings in our life, that we know that the things are necessary have already been given unto us, things out of the King's house, and the preference from the King, because you've made us sit together in heavenly places with you. And we choose to open our heart and sup so that we can enjoy victory in everything. We give you praise for that. Glory and honor. Committing it to you now is done. In the matchless name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, who is Lord and Savior. Amen. Amen. Glory to God.
Amen. All right, let's go ahead and open up some lines here for commentary. Area code 814, you have the mic.
Amen.
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 Welcome to the room.
Hey, you know, I'm thinking, you know, it's nice to hear something where, you know, we're talking about God is big. You know, he's big. And whenever... you know, you listen to a lot of people in the ministry, in the background, you know, or in the mind, they're always thinking about their skill set. And it's like thinking big, you know, we have to get our mind off our skill set, you know, and that can be an idol. And that's just a good reminder in your message about how, you know, God's big, you know, he wants us to fellowship with him and he wants to lead us. And so he does it. And, you know, he'll dwarf our, he'll make our skill sets look insignificant, and then we'll have a real testimony. Amen.
Yes. Yes. That's 100% correct, my brother. As even John the Baptist, who was the greatest prophet that lived, there was none greater, Jesus said, but we are supposed to be better than him, because we understood what he understood. And he said, I not will think about, he said, I must decrease, and he must increase. See, that has to happen. So our skill set, it's not going to work. That's all that's in the world, the pride of life. That's what causes people to think they are connected to success. But if you're connected to the success, Joshua 1:8 shows us that. He says, if you will meditate in the word day and night, then you will have good success. That's the only way to have it. You might see, observe success, but you won't have it. Because if I meditate in the word and allow the word to be my guide, then I will have, possess success. So, yes, sir, we have to get out of our skill set and allow our God to be God. Amen. That was good. Thank you for that. Glad you got that out of the ministry. Amen.
Amen. Okay. Looks like we got a lot of people on the outside listening. That's a good thing. So,
Amen.
I think that's the last of the callers that we do actually have for tonight. So, Pastor Steve, is there anything else that you would have to say before we go ahead and close for the evening?
No, as I can say, it's just encouraging every opportunity that I have to encourage and strengthen you. It really means a lot to me that God would allow me to hear from heaven and impart into his people the things that will prepare them and equip them so that he can use them. That's true, sir, because it's not about me. It's about the God that I'm connected to, that's connected to each one of you, and he wants to use you because he feels you. And I'm just glad to have opportunities to release truth that will transform. Thank you for that opportunity. Amen, Brother Mike.
Amen. All right, folks. Well, that does conclude our broadcast for tonight. Please feel free here if you've been blessed by any of the teachings that you've heard here on Live Deliverance on blogtalk.com. Also, don't forget that later on this week, we'll have more powerful teachings coming forth from the ministry. And be on the lookout as well for some, let's see here, hold on. Oh, never mind. Just continue to tune in to us each and every night here on Live Deliverance. And with that being said, we're going to go ahead and close out. We'd like to thank you for listening here at Live Deliverance on blogtalk.com. If it is the Lord's will, we will see you again here tomorrow evening and for the rest of the week. Amen, everyone. Have a good night. Shalom.
Amen.
And God bless.
Shalom. Amen.
I'll never fail, no, no, yeah. Randall positive again, yeah. I'm gonna make it, yeah, yeah, oh yeah, yeah. Gonna make it, yes, I'm gonna make it, oh yeah. I will never fail out, no, the past is always arise, even when me fail. Over every evil, me must prevail. Someone fi see we sink, now stop still. Come and tell them lies, and I cast them spell. What we are progress, why them a rebel? In the secret and the most high, that's how we dwell. What's done by the king must be done well, because of who we represent in the most high.